نذكر الله نعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وعلى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking in the Quran, Surah Yasin, saying to mankind, Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani Adam. Did we not take an oath from you, O children of Adam? Allah ta'budu shaitan, that you shall not serve shaitan, that you shall not serve the devil, you shall not obey the devil. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin, he is your open enemy. وَأَنَا اَعْبُدُونِي, and that you shall obey me. هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ, this is the straight path. So the straight path is defined as two things: not to worship shaitan and to worship Allah. Not to obey shaitan and then to obey Allah. And Islam, when it came in a simple formula to define these two things. It said, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha stands for Allah ta'budu shaitan. Illallah stands for an'ibuduni. Both these things. So now, we are discussing about shaitan, because before we learn about Allah, we need to know about shaitan and how he misguides us. That is the subject for these 2 weeks. How does he misguide us? What are the tools he uses? What are the tricks that he plays? So that when we learn how he attacks us, we are able to defend ourselves. If you don't know how he comes, then you will always be fooled. You know, it's like, for example, Shaitan's whispers are like junk mail. If you don't know it's junk mail, you take it seriously. Right? You think that you're going to win a sweepstake. Right? And you end up, right, losing. So, but you need to know it's a junk mail. If you don't know it's junk mail, you'll always be fooled. And that's the reason you need to understand Shaitan's tricks and Shaitan's playbook in order to have a good defense against him. To know where he's coming from. We now went through the existence of Shaitan. Why is he existing? Why did Allah keep him alive? And we also went through yesterday on the first quality of Shaitan. And that is where we are today. The first quality of Shaitan that we learned is that Allah, when he speaks of Shaitan, he says, "Kamathali shaitan idh qala lil-insan ukfur." When Shaitan, the example of Shaitan is that when he comes to mankind and says, "Ukfur," disbelief, reject, commands men, women, people. Falamma khabara, when the people reject, they listen to him, obviously they listen to him and they reject. Then he says, "Qala inni bariyum minka." He says, I have nothing to do with you all. You're on your own. In other words, at first he makes you do it. Meaning he entices you, gives you a promise, and makes you do it. And then after you do it, then he says, "Hey man, I have nothing to do with you. I didn't make you do it." The fact is that he did. He never made us do anything. Right? He never made us do anything. Right? It's like, for example, if you are driving on a highway, if you drive on a highway, you see, if you don't see any billboards, you are Right? You're never distracted. You're just going. What distracts you on highway are billboards. You look at the billboard, next exit, McDonald's, you know? Right? Then you're thinking, should I take an exit? Should I take an exit? And if that billboard wasn't there, you wouldn't even be thinking about that. Right? So, Shaitan's insinuations and his tricks is like a billboard on a highway. He's not making you take the exit, he's just showing what's at the next exit. Right? And that's why he's saying, Inni bari'un minka, I have nothing to do with you. Inni akhafu Allah rabbul alameen, I am afraid of Allah. You show that you're not afraid of Allah, but I'm afraid of Allah, I don't do these things. This is that Buddha Shaitan speaking. Inni akhafu Allah rabbul, I'm afraid of Allah. I fear Allah. I'm afraid of Allah. Right? That's what Shaitan is saying. In other words, you see, Shaitan misguides you and hence he doesn't give you anything to blame him for. So now, the first thing, the first quality of Shaitan is that he makes a promise to you and he breaks it. Unfaithfulness is the first characteristic of Shaitan, being unfaithful. When you make a promise, breaking the promise is the path of Shaitan. And keeping the promise is the sign of Allah. Is the path of Allah. Allah, as I said, does not need to make promises. Allah doesn't need to make any promise to us. He doesn't have to promise us Jannah. He doesn't have to promise us punishment. He doesn't have to promise anything. If Allah had wanted, He could have just said, that listen, pray, fast, go for Hajj, do these things, and then we say, well, okay, if you do it, what do we get in return? Nothing. He had the right to do that. Why? Because again, if we are praying to Allah, the feet that we are standing on to pray is given by Allah. The very tongue that we say Alhamdulillah with is given by Allah. The very energy that we have to stand up and pray is given by Allah. Everything is His. We owe Him for everything. And hence, He can tell us what to do and we better do it. He doesn't need to promise us anything. But then this is Allah's grace and His mercy that He's saying. That listen, if you are good, if you obey, if you believe, then I promise you heaven. I promise you Jannah. I promise you this, holy, and so on and so forth. All these promises Allah made. But now, a mu'min is someone who believes in Allah's promises. If he believes in Allah, he believes in Allah's past. And I want you to see whether truly when we look at ourselves, do we think like a believer? Do we think like someone who believes in Allah? Or do we think like someone who follows Shaitan's path? Let us see that today. And I want to give you these two examples that Allah has given us in history and history has recorded. And now we can see these two examples and they are very interesting examples. It's about two men and their destiny, their aqibat and their hereafter was decided in one night. In one night, both of these men, their destiny was decided. And I'll give you these examples so you can compare these examples and then reach a result of whose path do we really follow? Are we on Allah's path or are we on Shaitan's path? Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The first person whose life and whose hereafter was decided in one night was a person by the name of Umar ibn Sa'd. Umar ibn Sa'd is the person who led the army of Yazid and he was responsible for killing Imam Hussein and the children of the Prophet. Umar ibn Sa'd. This umar ibn Sa'd, he was approached by Ibn Ziyad. He was approached by Ibn Ziyad. Ibn Ziyad came to him and said that, Ibn Sa'd, I have an offer for you. He says, really? What's the offer? You know, it's a job offer, you know? So what's the offer? He said, okay. I want you to kill Hussein. I want you to kill Hussein, the grandson of the Prophet. I'm hiring you to kill him. And in return for that, you will get the government of Ray. Ray is a city in Iran. In those days, it was a prosperous city. It was a very prosperous city. And Umar ibn Sa'd looked at the offer. On one hand, the job, it calls for the killing of Imam Hussein. On the other hand, the reward is the city of Ray. He will be the governor. Imagine, that's big time. So he looks at both these two things and he says, listen, I need some time to think. I need some time to think about this offer. Give me a night. Give me one night and I'll get back to you tomorrow. Ibn Ziyad said, alright, sleep on it and see how it comes up. So he goes back and he starts to think. You know, should he do it? Should he not do it? Should he do it? Should he not do it? The offer is there, the job offer is there, and the reward is there. Now just to make us understand what he's going through, we need to apply it in our lives so that it can become a little bit more personal for us. So we know. Now imagine you have a job offer. You know, you are looking for a job in your field and you've got a job offer. And it's a perfect job you're looking for. Perfect job. It is in your field, right in your alley, and it pays well. Not that it pays well, but the perks of vacation, you can't beat it. You have your own office and everything. Right? So you go for the interviewer says, hey, listen, we'll give you this, we'll give you that, all these things, perks, vacations, and everything. It's like, wow, it can't be a better job than this. Right? Can't be a better job than this. So the interviewer says, alright, you know, the only condition though, this job, the only condition is that you have to work from 12 to 8 without any break, no lunch break, no anything break, just 12 to 8. You have to work straight. No break, nothing. So, alright. Now, on one hand, the job is perfect. It's paying you well, it's in your field, perfect job. On the other hand, you have to work from 12 to 8 without any break. Now, if you work from 12 to 8, what do you sacrifice? Your prayers. Dhuhr and Asr. You have to sacrifice that. You have to say that, on one hand, it's a perfect job. On the other hand, I am going to miss Dhuhr and Asr. And obviously, in this situation, many people, they start thinking, they say, well, we can always make qada anyway. If that's the case, that's a very, you know, bad situation to be in. You say, come on, I miss prayers every day. Everyone misses prayers every day. Alright? So, sacrifice Dhuhr and Asr, sacrifice Allah's law, sacrifice that, and choose the job. Or sacrifice the job, and choose Allah's hope. Now, you don't have to tell me or the person you're sitting next to. Just you need to tell yourself what will you decide. You see, what will you decide? Will you take the job and leave prayers, or will you leave prayers and leave the job? This is the decision that Umar ibn Sa'd was making. This is the decision that Umar ibn Sa'd was making. Should I sacrifice Hussein for dunya, for Ray, or should I sacrifice Ray and have the dunya? Have Hussein. Right? Same thing. Here in the job, it's the same thing. Dunya versus Akhirah. Is it going to be dunya or is it going to be akhirah? On the other hand, same thing. Is it going to be akhirah or is it going to be dunya? This is a decision that we are making every day in our lives. Every day we are making these decisions. And we need to decide what decision would we make to know what kind of a person we are. My friends, understand this. You got a job that's paying you $80,000 a year. This city of Ray, it means that you're going to be a multi-millionaire. If you are going to sell some of your Islam for some of the money, you will sell all of the Islam for an amount of money. If you are going to have a price tag on you, trust me, Shaitan will promise you that price tag. This is what happens. What made Ibn Sa'd do this? And now let me tell you who Ibn Sa'd is. Who is this Ibn Sa'd we're talking about? Umar Ibn Sa'd. Umar Ibn Sa'd is the son of Sa'd Ibn Waqqas. The son of Sa'd Ibn Waqqas. You know, there's a, you know, a thing which our brother Muslims call Asharah Mubasharah. Right? He is one of the lucky 10. Who has been promised to go to heaven. By whom? I don't know. But he's one of those 10. And this Umar ibn Sa'd, this Sa'd ibn Waqqas, who is this person now? Let me tell you. When Amir al-Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salatu wa salam, he was on the deathbed and he had claimed to the people, Saluni, Saluni, Qabla Atafquduni. He made the announcement. He said, ask me about whatever you want and I will answer you. He told the Muslims, he says, ask me anything that you want, I'm ready to answer you. Before you lose me, I'm leaving you. Ask me, I know the ways of heaven better than I know the ways of earth. Ask me about the heavens and I'll tell you. So, the intelligent Muslims were led by Sa'd ibn Waqqas, the most intelligent amongst them. And so, he asked the question that in some circles is very intelligent. I don't know if those circles still exist or not, but they still do in many places. So, he asked the question. Right, and here's who's here? Ali. Who's Ali? He is the one about whom the Prophet said, Ana Madinatul Ilm wa Aliyun Babuha. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is its gate. If you want to know about knowledge, ask Ali that. So now that person, he's telling you to ask him questions. I mean, you need to pay to get close to such people. Right? Meaning, really, if you want to invite someone who's big time and this and that, you need to pay him big money also. And then he'll come and he'll share the ill with you. But alhamdulillah, Ali and the followers of Ali are those who do not sell knowledge for cheap prices in the dunya. Ali and his followers are not those who are going to sell their knowledge for dunya. They know that what they teach, their reward is in the hereafter. And so Ali, he's offering that knowledge for free. He's saying, ask me. And so Sa'd ibn Waqqas, he comes out and he asks the question. Alright? Tell me, how many hair do I have on my head? He asked the question, how much hair do I have on my head? Obviously, I don't think that is too bad. You know? You know, it's known that the intelligence of a person is known through the questions he asked. If that is the intelligence required to be Asharah Mubasharah, then I think I'm above that. We all are above that. Right? We all are a little bit above that. You have to admit it. His question is, how much hair do I have in my head? Tell me. Can you tell me? Imam Ali looks at him. Imam Ali is already wounded. And he's asking a serious way. He looks at him. And he says, if I give you the answer, how would you verify it? You're asking a question. If I say, okay, you know, you have like, you know, 1.5 million here on your head, how would you know it's right or wrong? I mean, you're setting yourself up for any answer. In other words, you ask any question like that, anyone can answer that. Right? I can say, you know, there's this one story I read as a child, right, about this individual by the name of Birbal, who was one of the 9 gems of, what's the guy's name? Akbar, right? Akbar was the Mughal king of India. He had 9, assistants. One of them was Birbal. He was known for his intelligence. And everyone was against him and they wanted to put him down. So they came to him and asked him, okay, now tell us, how many birds are in this city? Right? And without being brave, he said, 1,365,434. He says, wait a minute. What if there are more? He said, if there are more, then there are guests coming over here. He said, what if there are less? He said, then there are lots of more guests. You ask a stupid question, you get a stupid answer. Right? What do you expect? So the issue is that he asked the question, how many hair do I have on my head? And how many said, if I answer you, how would you verify it? How would you verify it? Right? So that was his answer. But then Imam Ali added something. Imam Ali added something and said, listen, I'll tell you something that Rasulullah has mentioned to me. I heard from Rasulullah. Right? This is Imam Ali saying. Right, Babu Madinatul Ilm. Right, he is saying this. I heard from Rasulullah that he had said that on every hair that you have, right, speaking to Salim bin Waqqas, on every hair that you have, there is an angel that is holding your hair. On every hair, there is an angel that is sending lanat on you. That is sending la'anat on you, that is cursing you. Now, Ali ibn Waqqas was, right, literally in a state of depression. Right, now he couldn't say anything. Now then Imam Ali didn't stop there. But I will tell you this much, he said. I will tell you this much, that your son is going to kill my son, Hussein. I'll make a prediction right now, a prophecy, that your son, Umar ibn Sa'd, is going to kill my son Hussein. He made that prophecy and his deathbed. That was 20 years before the Battle of Karbala. And everyone heard that. Everyone was sitting there. And they all heard that. And they all were saying, oh, you know what? Did you hear what Ali said? He said that Umar ibn Sa'd is going to kill Hussein. And it was known. And so now everyone was looking at Umar ibn Sa'd, Umar ibn Sa'd, the big man, you know. Looking at Umar ibn Sa'd and saying, Hada Qatil al-Hussein. Hada Qatil al-Hussein, this is the killer of Hussein. Umar ibn Sa'd heard what these people are saying, so he went to Imam Hussein. He went to Imam Hussein and said, Hussein, did you hear what these people are saying? They're saying that I'm going to kill you. These people are stupid. Imam Hussein said, whether you're going to kill me or not, time will tell. But these people are not stupid. These people are not stupid. Then he turned to Imam Hussein and said, what? You think I'm going to kill you? I love you. I love you. How can I kill you? Was this Umar ibn Sa'd? And this Umar ibn Sa'd, all his life is professing love for Imam Hussein. All his life he's saying that I love you. But you see, that night came when the decision had to be made. He knows who Hussein is. He knows exactly the position of Imam Hussein. He was there in Kufa with Imam Hussein when Imam Ali was there. He knew who Hussein is. He knew who Ahlul Bayt are. He's from the same tribe. And then now he's making the decision. And he's saying, should I kill Hussein? Or should I leave him and leave city of Ray? Hussein, Ray. Dunya, Akhirat. Dunya, Akhirat. That is the decision he's making. That is a decision that he is making. Now my friends, all night long he thinks about this, and in the morning he makes a decision. And this is what I said, all this thing for was this one line here. This decision that he makes. He makes a decision, it's not that, for example, we are assuming his decision. He wrote it down in his diary. It's in history books, and every book of history you can read it. Right? He himself wrote it down. He wrote down the decision and why he made that decision. And that's what I want you to understand today. Why did he make that decision? He said, after thinking all night long, I came to a great decision. He himself claimed that it's great. I came to a great decision. And I decided to take the offer, to take the job. And then he mentions why. And listen to this. He mentions why. He says, then the reason I made this decision, and the reason it's great, is because the cash of dunya is better than the credit of akhirah. In dunya, what you're getting is cash. It's right there. In the akhirah, it's credit. It's just a promise. What Allah is saying, that you're going to get heaven, it's a promise. You see it? Did you feel it? Did you experience it? No. So it's a promise. But dunya is here. Yazid is here. His rule is here. This is cash. So he made the decision saying that cash is better than credit. Cash is better than credit. The cash of dunya is better than the credit of the hereafter. This is the decision that Umar ibn Sa'd made. Understand this. Now, I gave you one example of one person. Now, another person who also made a similar decision on one night, and his destiny was also decided in one night. And that person whose destiny was decided in one night, the other person, his name is Hur ibn Zidariya. Hur. He made that decision in one night. And Hur was what? Hur is someone who already had dunya. He had the world. He had 1,000 people under him. He was one of the commanders of Yazid's army. He had money, he had fame, he had respect, he had honor, anything that you can ask for in dunya. He had it. He was respected by everyone. He was respected for his bravery. He was respected for his wealth. He had everything. But that night for Hur came on the night of Ashura. Where on one hand he's looking at, on one side he has everything, the dunya. On the other hand is Hussein. On the other hand is Hussein. He wants to choose Hussein. If he chooses Hussein, then he loses his dunya. He's going to die because he knows everyone who's with Hussein is going to die. There are only like 60, 70 people there. And here there's thousands of these, they're going to massacre them tomorrow. He can choose to stay in this army and say that, you know what, I have nothing to do with this, and walk away. But he's thinking. He's thinking, on one hand, you have Hussein. On the other hand, you have dunya. Should I sacrifice the dunya for Hussein, or should I sacrifice Hussein for dunya? You see, Hur also is making a decision. And after all night of thinking, he makes his decision. And he makes his decision that no, he is going to leave the world and everything that's in it, that it has offered itself to him, he will leave it and go to Hussein. And at night, when he was worried, someone asked him, you look worried, what's the matter? Don't worry, we'll take care of it. He said, I'm not worried about this. So then, why are you worried for? Why are you looking anxious? He said, I'm trying to decide. Between what? He said, between dunya and akhirah. He said, if I stay here, I'll have dunya, but I will never have the akhirat whose master is Hussein. I'll never have that jannah whose master is Hussein. I'll never have that. So he said, well, why don't you leave then? He said, I will leave, but not in the dark. I will leave in the day. in the morning so everyone will see that I have left here. And this whore, my friends, this is the climax now. This whore, he goes to the tent of Umar ibn Sa'd, the same person who had made the decision a few months ago. And remember his decision, that akhirat is a promise, dunya is real cash. Whore goes in front of Umar ibn Sa'd and said, Umar ibn Sa'd, I'm leaving. Where? And I'm going to say, so why? Why do you want to go there for? We'll be dead. He said, because I've come to a conclusion. He said, what is that conclusion? Understand this now. This is Hur's decision. And the reason he made the decision. Hur announced his decision to whom? Umar ibn Sa'd, who made a similar decision a few months ago. He announces to Umar ibn Sa'd and says, I have decided that the promise of Allah is better than what this dunya can offer me. In other words, he's saying, Allah's credit is better than the cash of dunya. He made a decision, but it was the opposite decision. Umar ibn Sa'd is saying that cash is better than credit. Who is saying, no, the credit that Allah is giving, the promise that Allah is making is better than the cash that this dunya can offer. He made that decision. Both of them are face to face. Allah and history recorded both of them for all time to come, to let everyone in every generation think, who are you like? Are you Umar ibn Sa'd or are you Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi? If you are Umar, then you will choose cash over credit. And if you are Hur, then you will choose akhirat over dunya.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
My friends, when Allah made a promise of Jannah, then there is nothing, no cash in this dunya should ever make us think that it is better than that promise Allah has made. If a person thinks about it, you think that dunya is worth fighting for? For a moment, it cannot be. For those who are not, for those whose thinking is low, for them, yes, dunya is everything to fight about. All these wars are about dunya. All this death is about dunya. All these massacres are about dunya. Dunya is not worth fighting about. It's not worth fighting for. It is akhirah that is worth fighting and sacrificing for. For a moment, this is his path. This is the path of a moment. That when you want, if you want to sacrifice, sacrifice dunya for akhirah. This is the path of those who were ashab of Imam Hussein. That is their path. And those whose path is to choose dunya, that is Umar ibn Sa'd, Ibn Ziyad, and these people. They chose that. And we need to be better than that. Look at ourselves and see what would we choose. Who are we like? I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq and the blessing to be on the right path. Wisdom to understand his guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Sisters, questions? If the sisters want, they can write down the questions and you know, you can just hand it over to your channel. If you have anything, you know, right now it's not in your mind, you can write it down overnight and channel, when you come here, you can give it to me so I can read the question after the speech. Alright. Okay, I guess it's very clear and obvious. Salawat ya Rasulullah.